You're like, this is stretching it on both ends, taking future revenue to pay historic debt. You're taking it on both ends. This is not good. Hello, you amazing Patreons, you wonderful human beings, the ones that I missed all weekend, which is why I actually didn't jump onto Slack. But especially if you are overseas in European countries, particularly in Scandinavian countries, perhaps even if you are in Norway, you are my favorite Patreons. And today we have a very special episode for you.
Well, that's right, pissed off the Swedes, isn't it?
Oh. I'm only targeting one specific person.
Good morning, Stian. Welcome to European Week on Patreon.
Oh, we love Stian. Ledge. Yes, European Week. I thought we voted out of Brexit and shit. I thought we were out.
Well,
I thought we were out.
Listen, that was a fucking mistake anyway.
Yeah, European Week, which is because obviously our regular content is being shared with the world. Some of you lot that ask us weird and wonderful questions, your weirdness is now out there in public because the Q&A is out in public.
I reckon a lot of patrons bottled it this week.
Yeah, yeah, there was no dodgy questions.
We were okay. It was only Suge fucking it up.
Where are you, Sham?
It was only Suge mentioning a certain player.
Yeah,
is not allowed
yeah.
to
I
be
didn't
mentioned.
Even think that he...
don't go there.
It's not official though, is it?
No, it's not.
We don't know
let's
what's
not
going
talk
on.
About it.
It's just a mess, to be honest with you. So we have European Week, and we're talking about another mess to start with. Barcelona, which is a topic that we covered a while ago. Well, coming up to nearly maybe a year ago when we were talking about their debt it had spiraled.
They're not all messes this week.
Starting with a mess.
A couple of very good feel-good stories, actually. But yes, we are going to start with a mess, which I was very undecided about kind of fifth and final topic. And the more I'd looked at it, the more I thought, how am I leaving Barcelona out this week? Because they're in the news every day to the extent. It's why I decided to go first with them as well. Like, as in, you get less news over the weekend. Let's get it out the way before the circumstance completely changes with them. Because it is still a mess, contrary to some of the stuff. But I think this centres around the question that a lot of you are asking is, how in the fuck are they still trying to buy players?
Yeah,
I mean, because every time it's like, oh, they've bid 40 million for Lewandowski. Romano's reported perhaps 75 million euro fee agreed with Leeds for Rafinha last night. It's not factually yet, but he reckons that that bid's gone in. And it just centres around back to how are they doing it? Because we first did the podcast on Barcelona, believe it or not, so just like 18 months ago now, we did that podcast.
Is it
on
that
Barcelona.
Long ago?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's when they had the 1.3 billion debt that was due within payable by the end of the season. So, yeah, it makes sense, actually, January, February 21, roughly.
I've still got that debt.
Of course, yeah.
It's still there. How are they continuing to try and operate like a big club? That's what this is going to kind of centre around.
No, it's basically like you got your mate who wins the lottery. And he's straight down the pub and he's buying everyone drinks and champagne's on me and all of that kind of stuff.
But the card then bounces at the end.
Well, he pays, he's done it, all good, and he's buying you drinks. And the next week you're down the pub and he's buying drinks and living a life and mates with everyone. And then a few months later, he's spunked it all up a wall and he's got no money left. But when he turns up at the pub, he can't change the way he's been, and he still wants to buy you a drink.
Yep.
And he's still going around, who wants the champagne? But the truth is, he can't fucking afford it, but he can't change the way he's behaving. That's what Barcelona are doing. They can't not try and behave like some big boys, like they've got the money. But the truth is that they haven't. And La Liga's financial fair play restrictions and rules and stuff are pretty strict. Like, they're way stricter than ours, and they are being enforced, and Barcelona are being made to live within their means. And that's the story that's unfolding right now. The public show is way different to what the reality of what they're allowed to do is. And you can understand it a little bit because it's keeping them in the media and they still want all the commercial stuff that will come with being one of the biggest clubs in the world.
Yeah, it's part acting the big one, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, let's go back 12 months.
They still have pulling power as well. Let's not get it wrong. Like, Rafinha still wants to go to Barcelona. Like,
we're going
to
talk about Frankie de Jong a little bit in a bit as a kind of example of one of the things that's obviously happening at Barca. They're probably the most attractive football club in the world to play for.
Yes.
Because what you've got with them is you've got the mix of everything. You've got the iconic stadium, the iconic history, the behaviour of wanting to be a big club. And you've also got the very unique mix in Barcelona as a city of city and beach lifestyle and stuff, which, I mean, Madrid obviously has the city element. Manchester United has the city element, as does Liverpool and stuff. But Barcelona are a very unique case in terms of top superstar football club that has the kind of holiday lifestyle with the city lifestyle as well. It makes them probably the most attractive club in the world, doesn't it? When you think about it like that. For a player, if you're a player, it's very understandable. If you're on a good wage at Barcelona, what do you want to leave for?
Yeah. I'm trying to really rack my brains. Other than joining Galacticos at Madrid, where if you had teams of old where you've got like Figo and Zidane and Beckham and Ronaldo and so on, Fat Ronaldo.
If you had the choice, just as a human being, if everything was equal, Barca, Madrid, United, Liverpool, Juventus, whatever, where do you go?
Yeah, Barca.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, rack my brains, but I don't think there's many places that you'd rather be than Barcelona.
And that's why it's such a pull, still, in terms of lifestyle, to go with the pull of the football club in itself. But I also, to flip that on its head, I'm not quite sure why anyone wants to go there at the moment.
Mm.
Other than, yeah, it's historic. We know, like, Rafinha wants to go there, 100% certainty. He doesn't want to go to the Chelsea, I don't even think it's an FU to Chelsea. He's just got his heart set on going to Barcelona. And part of that is, I think, Barcelona is believed had agreed to pay the buyout clause. There was supposedly a buyout clause. This hasn't been factually proven, but it seems to be kind of common knowledge. There was a buyout clause, quite cheap to get Rafinha if Leeds United had got relegated. Now, Rafinha did everything on his part to help keep Leeds United up. I think that's fairly obvious. There was no down in tools or anything. But Barcelona thought they were getting Rafinha for 25 million towards the end of the season. Now, obviously, you've now got Chelsea coming to the table and offering like 60 million and stuff. It's like, oh. But Rafinha's already been told the deal's agreed, basically, like, if you go down. Deco is also Rafinha's agent. Obviously, his ties to Barcelona, it's worth saying, his ties to Chelsea as well. He played for them as well. But then, rather than looking at it as a football club and going, oh, well, we could have got him for 25 million, that would have been a great deal. And don't pull away. Oh, we'll pay like 130% on top of what we thought we were going to pay. But they can't do it. There is genuinely a danger here that Rafinha joins Barcelona and they can't register him and he ends up sitting on his ass doing nothing until January. So no one's speaking about it.
Barca are in the shit because they spent too much money in the late 2000s, chasing the 2010s, let's say, chasing glory. I mean, they haven't done anything in the Champions League significantly for 7-8 years now. 2014-15 was when the last one, wasn't it? Or
15, I think.
Yeah, 14-15 season. So they haven't done anything in that for 7 years now. And they, off the back of Guardiola's era, obviously spent so much on so many players that just didn't work out or weren't worth it. I mean, the number of players in the 100 million graveyard there, we were talking on the main pod about Lukaku being the worst transfer of all time. I mean, Griezmann, wow.
Coutinho.
Wow. Dembele. Wow. These are all 100 million plus transfers that they've lost money on or didn't work out on the pitch. In the meantime, Messi's contract ran out. Although, I mean, the amount of money he was on wages is mental.
Jump back to this time last year. By the way, it's 1 year anniversary of last year's Euros final. Did you know that?
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, had a bit more of a hangover. Barca, this time last year, Messi wasn't their player.
No.
He was out of contract, gone past the June 30th. Everything was very calm. He'll re-sign. There's no problems.
We'll figure it out.
And Laporta kept promising he'll sign. He'll sign, but he must have known
that they couldn't afford him.
They couldn't afford him.
So La Liga limits the amount of losses you can make over a period. Same as our league, to be honest with you. But I think they're just a bit stricter in enforcing it. And Barca have lost too much money. So they now either have to make and show profits to get back on the right side of cumulative losses, or they're only allowed to spend €1 for every €4 they make.
In I thought it was free.
1 to 4 is the ratio.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, 1 to 4. So, yeah, they have to keep free aside. So if they sell someone for 40 million, they can spend 10.
Yeah.
If they don't reverse the financial fair play. So the problem right now is that they're trying to sign, register and sign players, but they haven't done anything on the other end to get money out the door. So the two things they could do is sell players. They don't seem to want to be figuring that shit out because this the Young deal is dragging on. They've actually got a deal in place to re-sign Dembele, re-sign Ousmane Dembele's contract. But they haven't shown that they can meet financial players. And they've got a strategy which has been approved. And now, and we'll talk about it in a second with what they're referring to as these levers. But it seems to be the dumbest way to get yourself out of this financial situation. So historic debt under a president who's in jail or is under investigation and to be jailed, Bartomeu or whatever. Is he in jail now? I think he's...
I'm not
he was
sure.
He was in jail. Put it this way. They were dodgy as hell, all of those guys. And you've got Juan Laporta now, who's been president before and is trying to get him out of it, trying to fix the problem. So they can't spend any money, but they're trying... This is what I don't get. They know the financial restrictions, but...
Well, there's one thing that I really don't get. So La Liga set a salary cap.
Yes.
And Barcelona were heavily restricted last season. What I don't understand is apparently the salary cap is announced on September the 1st, the day after the transfer window closes.
Right.
So how can Barcelona know what they can spend? I genuinely, I do not understand this. I don't understand how that can work.
From what I don't
actually understand how the league can't notify beforehand. Yeah,
unless
I don't understand.
Unless it's a season
that.
Out. See, Barca's wage bill is somewhere between 450, 500 million euros. Unless, they're supposed to be spending only 160, 170.
Unless it's based on previous year's accounts. Because it's believed that Barcelona's financial results, which obviously end June 30th, but it's common, they don't get published straight away, are not likely to be published till probably November time. Mm-hmm. So is it based on the previous year? I'm going to guess maybe.
Yep.
But it was still working at a mass loss.
Yeah, I mean, according to the Liga's calculations, Barca would have a smaller wage bill, in theory, than Sevilla, Atletico, similar to Valencia, definitely below Real Madrid. So they'd be in the second tier of clubs in terms of what they can spend in terms of wages, but they spend twice to three times as much, man. So, yeah. It's something that they really need to think about. And when you look at the... Rafinha's a good player, I understand. But why are you going after Lewandowski, who's 36, is he now, at the twilight of his career? What are you trying to achieve with that kind of signing when you're in a financial situation? Now, you talked a lot about Manchester United need to look for good quality, homegrown, but up-and-coming players that will develop at the club. Barca, similar, they need to. And there are players that they... have bought that, have done that, Pedris of the world. But more of that, rather than looking for the Lewandowskis of the world, I mean, taking Aubameyang on, that was a different circumstance, I get, and he's done all right there, to be fair. But these are players at the end of their careers that are still on big money. You can do better with youngsters that are on cheaper wages and maybe punt two or three of them rather than one big headline. I don't get it.
The narrative of this pushes all the way through the football club in terms of pushing the problem back. Lewandowski is not going to come in on 50 grand a week, right? He's going to come in on stupid wages. He's 34 years old.
He's 34, is he?
You can make a case that £40 million. Now, listen, Lewandowski probably still is, you could make a debate that he's still the best number nine in the world at the moment. But he's 34. He could, like that, dip down a level. We don't know, you know, training could be very different from Bayern at Barca. It might be not as intense and stuff. The style of football is going to be different, obviously. What if suddenly they spend 40 million on him and he regresses at some point? He's going to, isn't he? Now, yeah. He might not till he's 38 or 39. He's obviously a very fit lad, you can tell that, but maybe he will. Or maybe the flip is he might be like Ronaldo and continue and do great till he's 37, 38. and decides not to show up for training and stuff. Do they need Robert Lewandowski? No. It's like we have to make a statement. So we're going to talk about these levers a bit. Well, one of the things I noticed was to pass off one of these, they had to get the permission from the socios.
So both of them. So there was two that they needed votes for. They passed quite comfortably, to be fair.
Yeah, and no doubt. But like The Athletic interviewed some of like these socios, and a lot of them are saying like, we don't really care. Do what you've got to do. We've got to buy the best players in the world. Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. Like, seriously. Rafinha, amazing player. You'll all know. I think he's a superstar in waiting. Completely understand why he wants to go to Barcelona, and I understand why Barcelona want to buy him. But at the same time, we're trying to boot Dembele out of the club back in January. Xavi put his foot down and said, no, I actually want him to stay. He now reckon he's probably going to agree on reduced terms, admittedly, probably only about 40% of what his previous wages were, which is probably still going to be more than he'd get offered elsewhere, by the way, is important to say. But they might not be able to register him. But why do you need both? If you are going to re-sign Dembele and keep him, if Xavi wants him as important, why are you buying Rafinha as well? And he'll come back to the debate. Well, you've got to have a squad rotation and stuff. Yeah, but most other clubs do not have the financial problems that Barcelona have at the moment. And then again, going back to, they're now going to end up paying 130% of what they thought they were going to pay for Rafinha. Doesn't make sense. There is a chance, as I said, that Rafinha could be signed by Barcelona and they're not able to register him. That is a genuine possibility. You've now got Andreas Christensen and Frank Kessie, who have joined from Milan and Chelsea, respectively. Same thing, done, official. They can't register him at the moment. The Liga season starts, I think, on August the 6th. And as it stands, there's a good chance that they might not be able to be registered till September. But then if the Liga sets them a certain amount and they look at it and go, well, actually, we can't register you, then they might not be able to be registered till January. Do you know how absurd that is?
Yeah, it's crazy. And then
we'll go and spend 60 million on Rafinha.
They've got Frankie de Jong sitting there, which is a potential move to Manchester United. He doesn't want to leave.
Yeah, so this is fascinating. So with Frankie de Jong. So Xavi doesn't particularly want Frankie de Jong to leave. Laporta keeps saying that they don't want de Jong to leave. Frankie de Jong doesn't want to leave Barcelona. But it might not all be football related.
No.
So Frankie de Jong's annual salary is believed to be around about 14 million euros a season. It's a lot. Do the maths on that, can't we? What,
yep.
275 a week, something like that, roughly. It's a lot. It's a sizable sum. So obviously Barcelona come into real problems, obviously, when COVID happened. And what they agreed with de Jong, and he wasn't the only player, again, pushing the problem back, they agreed to defer, or de Jong did rather, defer a certain amount of wages. So in year one of COVID, he earned 3 million euros a year. Year two, the year that's just gone, he agreed to go up to 6 million euros a year. And it's believed that because he deferred so much, this year now he's going to go up to 18 million euros a year. And if Barcelona sell him now, he wants all the fucking money that he's owed.
Yeah, I heard a number was 14 million euros is what he is owed in back salary.
It's more than that. It's nearer 20.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, these numbers are all flying around. So funny. Anyway, so if they sell him, they have to pay him his back salary. And if he stays, they don't. So they're going to end up having to keep him. But his salary is so big.
But then they don't get the transfer fee.
Yeah. It's true. And his salary is so big that it eats up so much of their salary allowance every year as well, which is crazy. Do you think he'll go? Because I think the likelihood is that he will eventually end up.
I don't know, because it's getting complicated for United now. This is the problem. So obviously he doesn't want to leave Barcelona.
Yeah, I get that.
And it's not even I don't want to go to Manchester United. Xavi doesn't want him to leave. So they obviously invested a lot in him. And actually, of the big money signings that they have done over the last few years, he's still shown the promise to be one of the best midfield players around. He would be a super signing for Manchester United. But he doesn't want to go. Barcelona don't want him to go. But whether he stays or goes, fucks them financially either way.
Mad.
It's insane. So do I think he'll go to United? Possibly yes. But I guess he's going to have to come to Barcelona don't want to give him the full amount. So I suppose there'll be negotiations around the table of, okay, take 10 million of the transfer fee or something like that. I don't know. But again, why are you focusing on trying to buy the likes of Rafinha and Lewandowski? And I'm skeptical that these are even necessarily real things because of what happened with Messi last year. How did they get themselves in a position where they couldn't register the greatest player of all time? Barcelona. How mad that is.
Yeah.
And it's all promises, like what you said about keeping it in the media spotlight and stuff, keeping Barcelona. It's almost like we've got to keep Barcelona's name front and centre. We're trying to buy all these players, which is really interesting because Madrid have obviously bought Tchouaméni. I think that's the correct pronunciation, from Monaco. Quite a bit of money. They've obviously lost out on Mbappe. But actually, with Madrid, you're not hearing a lot at the moment.
No.
The vibes are, that's it, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
He's our one kind of big incoming. That's it, can't do a lot more at the moment. So why are Barcelona acting the bigger and different? Like they're going to do this, that and the other. They've got 31 players still currently listed as like first team players. And they've got a few have gone. Like obviously, Clement Longley's gone to Tottenham. We don't know the breakdown of the wages, but I suspect he's on about 200 grand a week. I suspect.
Wow.
It's a mess. I suspect Barcelona. Oh, wow. I suspect Barcelona are paying a chunk of that, yeah. Even if it's just 25% or something. I don't believe Tottenham are taking all of that because Tottenham were paid a loan fee of, we think, about 5 million as well, which you might argue that will cover 100 grand's worth a week, and therefore it acts as a zero if that what Barcelona are paying and stuff. But they've got to get these wages down massively. They forecast this time last year that over the 21-22 season, they would make a profit of 5 million euros. A very small profit, just to kind of turn the ship around and be able to start acting as a big club. It looks like the financial figures are going to come out in the wash of still a loss of 160 million euros. There's a couple of reasons why that's obviously gone sideways. One, they went out of the Champions League in the group stage. Now, of course, in January time, they looked like a real mess in terms of qualifying again would be a big problem. Now, they have done that. But obviously, dropping into the Europa League is not great for the status of the football club. And the money generated at the Camp Nou in terms of matchday revenue was well off what it was prior to COVID. One of the main reasons might be for that, and you know this, and I know that, having
tourists.
Been out there.
No one's going to see Messi.
Barcelona do not fill the ground with Barcelona fans. Yeah. You will never, even if you go to El Clasico. El Clasico is normally the only one that's completely sold out. You will get tourists at El Clasico. So, and because of COVID and stuff, people aren't travelling the same way and have lost the icon who was worth going to see on his own in Lionel Messi, right? And then we're struggling a lot. So the attendances weren't what they should have been last season and stuff. But still, 160 million loss. Imagine if they signed Messi and he was on 600 grand a week or whatever he was on. I mean, it's staggering how
it's been run so badly. They are trying to raise money, though.
Yes.
That's their kind of strategy of how we're going to get out of it. Now, a few weeks ago, they've announced their commercial deal with Spotify.
Yep.
Let's talk about that, and we can talk about what else they've done in the more recent couple of weeks. So Spotify are now stadium sponsors, shirt sponsors, training kit sponsors, women's kit sponsors. Like, basically, have bought a whole bunch of stuff off them. For about 70 million a year is the number for
the next
4 years. It's not great, though.
No, it's not.
I mean, Manchester City are getting 15 million from Etihad just for their stadium naming rights.
Correct.
But then that's a bit dodgy anyway.
That's the most, by the way, commonly in terms of stadium sponsership in football.
Yeah.
There are,
I mean,
NFLs that get more, I think.
A year for that is fine. But they were getting more for the individual shirt sponsorship prior to the Spotify deal, but of course the market is different now, and whether or not people have the appetite.
Rakuten, was it?
Rakuten,
yeah,
and so electronic.
Well,
stuff.
But they were paying Beko more for individual. The men's shirt sponsorship than what Spotify are going to pay now
for that, the whole
that's,
lot.
That's my understanding, which now includes the stadium sponsorship.
I think it was if you combine Rakuten, Beko, and whoever else was doing the women's kit together, that was more than Spotify paying for all the kit and the stadium.
That doesn't make sense.
It's mad, isn't it? It's a discount.
How Spotify,
they're probably
got
like 10, 15 million down to if they were maybe doing them individually, is the way I look at it.
Is it because probably they could get one big lump
from one
company?
A company the size of Spotify, 70 million a year to sponsor Barcelona, is chump change, I think. So it's a great deal. If you're a multi-billion, 70 million to sponsor Barcelona, be all over their shirts, exposed. Spotify obviously want to get into other forms of content and podcasting and sports being one of them. Sponsoring Barcelona for 70 million a year is a no-brainer for them, in my opinion.
And it is now the Spotify...
Camp Nou.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big, isn't it?
They're all going
remember,
one by one.
Remember the original traditions, going back to when Laporta was president the first time round?
Yeah.
Was UNICEF they would, on the they would never have shirt sponsors. They were the last one to go, but they realised eventually that other clubs were pulling in monstrous sums for shirt sponsorship. I mean, we now got sleeve sponsorship and stuff as well. And they eventually they relented and they parted it by having UNICEF in the first instance as kind of a phase in to say, look, we're going this way. But yeah, what Suji's saying is right, guys, that actually the money that they've got on this deal is nowhere near... really what it should have been.
No.
But why? Is it just the desperation cash, to get the money in quickly?
Yeah, more than likely. There might be worked out a way of banking some of that 280 million euros early rather than spreading it over the 4 years or something. They're using it as a way of balancing their books.
It's also a chunk out of the bloke trying to buy Arsenal as well.
Oh, yeah. I think that's long gone, and we know that Kroenke's not going to be interested in selling anything at Arsenal. So Spotify have just gone in and done this deal. It's a fair deal. I don't think it's a fair deal for Spotify. I don't think there's anything underhand or overpriced or underpriced. But you know,
one of the things obviously Barcelona want to try and do in the next few years, or they are going to do, is obviously the renovation of the stadium.
Yep.
Which will increase the capacity. It's going to have a roof all the way around and stuff. I mean, having been there myself a couple of years ago and been right at the top of that place. Does it need some doing? Yeah. I mean, some of it, I don't know how it passed the health and safety certificate, or maybe that's not a thing out there. The policing's a whole different act altogether. But it needs work. Like, it's crippled, really, in terms of its infrastructure and stuff. Mm. So they're going to do that. And obviously, if Spotify are a part of that, and it's the Spotify Camp Nou when it's finished, which I think the deal's 4 years at the moment, then that'll be big for them. I mean, as you say, it's a no-brainer deal for Spotify. It's just I think Barcelona have pulled the money out of desperation. This will go, obviously, into last year's accounts, which will also include this money from leavers. So we know this June 30th deadline was massive for Everton, for example, in terms of the Richarlison money. It was also massive for Barcelona. And what they've done is they've sold off stuff against their future profits, basically.
Yeah, kind of sort of, yeah. The two things that they've sold are a share, 49% share, Barcelona Merchandise Limited, or whatever it's called. Their merchandise division, commercial stuff, shirts and all that kind of thing. Not all clubs own their own commercial, that kind of arm.
No, Barcelona. But they had bought it back from Nike.
So Barca owned it, and so as a result, all of the commercial stuff that they sell, products, merchandise, they're making all of the money. But it's a separate company to Barcelona Football Club, but it's owned by Barcelona Football Club. They're going to sell 49% of it on to someone. The socios have signed off that they can do that. That's a straightforward investor play that someone like Nike would probably buy, but say, yeah, fine, okay, 49%. Half of that company makes 50 million a year, so it's worth 25 million a year. We'll buy it for 3x profit or 5x profit. Here's 175 million or 200 million, whatever the number is. But I'd suspect someone will take a three or 5 year view and say we'll pay 5 years, half the profit for 5 years upfront to buy half of it. It's like privatizing the railways and privatizing anything else. They'll bank the cash, will Barcelona, but they'll make less in the next 5 years. Whoever comes on board to buy it will work off the assumption that they can increase the sales and therefore increase the profit or the margins with better buying and therefore make more than 5x over the next 5 years. And then it's a good deal for them. Or Barcelona will want to buy it back for more than they've sold it for when they've got more money potentially. But there are plenty of people that will buy it, a couple hundred million, or a little bit more. There are plenty of people that buy half of Barca's merch
they've
rights.
They've also sold off their future TV rights. Was it
this one's a little bit
was it 25 years? I saw.
I heard 25% for 20 years, but it may be 25 years. But I thought the percentage is 25% of future TV earnings, let's say for 20 years, they've sold it off. And when I first started hearing and reading the news and articles around it, it was like, oh, selling future TV rights. I'm like, it's not the worst deal. But I worked off the assumption that it was like 3 years max, maybe four at most. When I heard 20 years, I'm like, yo, you're bringing forward a lot of revenue early. It's like saying, taking 25% of your salary for the next 20 years up front and then using it to pay your credit card debt from the past. You're like, this is stretching it on both ends, taking future revenue to pay historic debt. You're taking it on both ends. This is not good.
So this deal, the TV deal, is essentially what is allowing them to try and play in the market.
Well, yeah.
So this is taking them from a negative.
We're not in a loss
year.
Anymore. We're in a profit. We can do what we like again.
It's basically taken to roundabouts of 40 to 50 million profit for the last year. So in terms of the answer in how are they doing it, it is this deal that is now allowing them, they believe, to act like a big club again. But the deal is scandalous. And one of the things I said to Suj before we started was, the whole model in terms of the presidency, and this is obviously the case at Real Madrid as well, not quite so much because Perez has been there obviously so bloody long, but the presidents change so often. Bartomeu was there previously and he didn't think about the future, right? It was like, get player X, Y, Z, bang, we're going to win everything, we'll deal with the consequences later. It's the same now with Laporta. So although the one thing I can definitely say with him is he's got Barcelona's best interests. No doubt about it. Like, he was president when Guardiola had the brilliant, successful team and stuff. And he is trying to work it out. But also, when this becomes a problem in the future where Real Madrid are making X more amount of money on TV, because remember, they sell their own rights. It's not like the Premier League sell their rights. Madrid and Barcelona make more than the other 18 clubs in La Liga put together in terms of selling their TV rights. When they're making X less than Real Madrid in the future, it's because of this. And when that day comes round, Laporta's not there. It will be someone else's problem to pick up in terms of, do they buy the rights back? Are they going to try and sell them for stupid amounts to various different companies, etc.? It's just pushing a problem back. They're never free. They're never free. So what they're doing, and Laporta, it's believed, the people close to Laporta believe that there's so many problems at the moment that they're just acting on the fly to try and get the money in. So they was obviously hoping in June they could sell several players to get incomers in. They couldn't. They pulled the first lever to get the money in, so they ended the year in profit. But again, if they don't fix the problem this year, you got the same problem next year, then what do? Does it become 50% of the TV rights? How far does this go?
Yep.
It's just pushing a problem backwards. So they're selling their future. But I think the people that are selling the future, it's not going to be their problem when it becomes a real problem at the moment. Yeah, they've had a 200 million income come in, an injection of cash. But fast forward 15 years or so, when they're on a level footing maybe with Madrid, and they're looking across, and remember, this, as I said, they sell their own TV rights. Barcelona will be looking at Madrid going, shit, they're making 50 million more than us in TV revenue.
If Barca don't do well in Europe and lose out a load of TV money by not getting to the quarters and semis and whatever else, Champions League, they're going to be screwed within 2 years. 2 years more of getting out of the group stage of Champions League, they're screwed.
But they'll just sell something else, won't they?
Well, they're going to run out of things to sell.
18 months ago, we did the podcast and it was like, listen, these lot are in way more trouble than anybody realised. And the problem isn't going away. Like, hearing about Rafinha and Lewandowski and stuff doesn't mean, oh yeah, everything's sweet. It's given them the capability to buy players but to act in the media like they're a big club and stuff. But right now, I mean, it's just going to get worse. I just see the problem going worse and worse and worse, and they're always be in debt. The stadium would maybe be the changer for them once they get it done in sort of 4 or 5 years, but similar problem to now, they need the tourism really to fill it and stuff.
One big way of solving this whole problem
is
sell the whole club.
But it can't.
The socios won't allow it.
Correct.
But eventually, that might be the only way they get around this.
Well, yes.
Someone coming in and buying the entire football club, writing off the debt And that's that.
But then because of
they're clinging on to this socio.
Because of the La Liga rules and stuff, you can have as much money as you want in your back pocket at the moment.
But at least they can service the debt, right? It's the only way to kind of come out of it step by step where someone can service the debt. Sure, we're making losses, but turn it around to a profit. But I don't see that happening in the near future because I don't think the socios want to lose control. But not the majority of clubs around Europe are not running this way. So eventually they may have to follow suit. That's the only other big, easy solution. Because for a couple of billion, someone's going to pick up Barcelona. It's worth a few billion.
Then you have to change the whole membership model of the football club. And I don't know if that would, for the Barcelona fans, it might seem a bit abnormal to us, but that's how they work, Barca and Madrid, with the socios and stuff. It's how it's always
been.
Yeah,
it'd be ripping the soul out of it. But the alternative is what? It goes bankrupt.
It's also restriction. We spoke about this when we did the pod on Perez. It's like, actually, this is actually becoming restrictive to you in terms of trying to compete with the English clubs. Yeah. And of course, the elephant in the room is they still haven't given up on this fucking Super League idea.
Yeah, and that's the other one. We shall see how it unfolds. And obviously, there'll be more news of interest as the transfer window closes after 30th of April. And we'll see where they end up and what they're registered with. August. Months beginning with A.
Yeah.
And we shall see. Who have we got tomorrow, European football? AC Milan?
No, that's Wednesday. We're going to do the Berlin clubs tomorrow, which will probably drift off into a bit of a Bundesliga chat as well. But it's quite a unique case there where you've got, I wouldn't say David and Goliath, but let's say David is performing much, much better than his bigger sister at the moment. And you've got a little reverse of, I wouldn't say power shift and stuff, but it also relates into the difficulty of the clubs in the Bundesliga trying to compete with, I mean, Bayern Munich will win the league again, basically. Bayern Munich will win probably 90 of the next 100 Bundesligas, which is a sad story. Hertha should be one of the biggest clubs in that league and have been very, very much struggling, while their minnow mate Union has been doing quite well.
Indeed. So stay tuned for that tomorrow, patrons. We'll be back at you. And of course, main podcast tomorrow will be about Birmingham City. So make sure you're listening in to that as well. Ciao, ciao.
Thanks, patrons. Barca. Ch-ch-ch.
Fantasy Football Show.